Today is Rejoice Sunday. I'd like to tell you a story about a young man who grew up in the mid-60s in the middle of the United States. This young man looked at life very much with optimism and looked at life looking forward to literally a life of joy, a life of happiness. This young man always thought that he was going to get married. The young man would spend sometimes days thinking, not all the time, but thinking, I wonder what my future wife is doing right now. And this man, well, this boy at that time, a teenage boy, fantasized about the future, about finding the perfect woman, finding the love of his life. I remember that this young man was, and for those of you who are young here, you may not know, remember any of this, but this young man was very much in love with a young lady by the name of Shelley Fabre. Now, those are all, those of us who are a little older know who Shelley Fabre was. But during the 60s, Shelley Fabre was a young lady who was in a show which was black and white called The Donna Reed Show. And in the Donna Reed Show, every time Shelley would appear, this young man would just go crazy over her. And this young man never forgets the first time that this young lady, Shelley Fabre, sang a song. The song was Johnny Angel. This young man, of course, in his seeking for joy, always imagined that he was going to be Johnny Angel. And so, for this young man, the entirety of his hopes and dreams for the future were in finding the perfect joy of his life, as this Sunday is, Rejoice Sunday. And this young man thought that the joy of his life would be to find the perfect girl, and he would be perfectly in love and live happily ever after. Well, needless to say, it didn't turn out that way. And after a few broken relationships with girlfriends, that two or three of them that didn't go anywhere, this young man went through a crisis in his life. And as he went through this crisis in his life, he had to turn to God just to survive, because it was a crisis that almost took his life. And he turned to God, asking God to rescue him. And I remember that this young man, who was at that time very far from the church, started recalling what he had learned in high school, because this young man experienced the crisis in his late teens and early 20s. And in high school, there had been people who had told him that there was a God who loves us and a God who cares. And it was at that moment that the young man began to be able to call on this God to rescue him. Anyway, this young man, in the course of a couple of years of fairly intense suffering, decided that he was going to dedicate the rest of his life to the one thing that stood when the rest of his life fell apart. And of course, this young man became a priest. I think by now you get it. The young man, of course, is me. These thoughts came into my mind because it was years later, as I reflected back on my youth. Because you see, I never thought I was going to become a priest. I never wanted to become a priest. I wanted to find a good-looking woman. And I wanted to live happily ever after being a psychologist or a sociologist or something like that. But after that harrowing experience that I went through, and I entered the seminary and ultimately became a priest, it was during the first years of the priesthood that God used a very unlikely source to help that young man understand the path that he took towards the priesthood. And the Lord used a very interesting situation. Of all things, the Lord used a Beatles song. And as I was listening to that Beatles song, it was as if God was talking to me and explaining what I had experienced years before. And the experience of years before, of my girlfriends, of my seeking for the perfect girl that I was going to marry. And you listening to that song, it was clarified. So this is kind of an experimental homily, if you don't figure it out by now. And the homily is going to be either good or it's going to be a disaster. It's okay. But I want to play you that song. And I hope that the screens are, or maybe just one. Okay, it looks like we just have one. Now, you can turn it off for a minute. Thank you. The song, I want you to listen and read the words, because I want to explain to you how God used this in my life. The reason I'm talking about it is because I think it might teach you something. The way God works in all of our lives ends up teaching us something, because the stories of each other can illuminate our own stories. It's not a long song. The song is called, I Will. I Will. And I'm going to play it from my iPhone, and the letters, the words, the lyrics should be on the screen. And then I'm going to talk to you about it, and I'm going to talk to you about what it has to do with the readings of today. So, hold on.
Knows how long I've loved you. You know I love you still. Will I wait a lonely lifetime? If you want me to, I will. For if I ever saw you, I didn't catch your name. Make it easy to be near.
Now, I still never forget the day God spoke to me through that song. Because what he was, if you listen to the words are quite intriguing. And what God was telling me was quite intriguing. I'll go through, the words are very short. Who knows how long I've loved you? You know I love you still. Will I wait a lonely lifetime? If you want me to, I will. For if I ever saw you, I didn't catch your name. But it never really mattered. I will always feel the same. Love you forever and forever. Love you with all my heart. Love you whenever we're together. Love you when we're apart. And when at last I find you, this your song will fill the air. Sing it loud so I can hear you. Make it easy to be near you. For the things you do endear you to me. Ah, you know I will. Do you notice something about the song? He's never met her. He has never met the woman he is in love with. And I think when God used that song to speak to me, he was telling me that I had never met the woman that I was looking for, and that I never would meet the woman that I was looking for. Because the woman I was looking for was actually God himself. You see, I had such an idealized image of what any human being can be that I confused the perfection, the perfect love, the perfect beauty, the perfect justice, the perfect peace, the perfect home. I confused all of that and put it on a human being. And what God was telling me is, your longing for perfect truth, for perfect beauty, for perfect justice, for perfect love, for perfect home, your longing for all of that is correct. The problem is, you're never, ever going to find it in any one human being. Because what your heart longs for is your heart longs for God. I had confused my love for God for the love of an individual woman. And what God was saying to me was what he told St. Augustine 1,500 years ago. Augustine, 1,500 years ago, wrote this sentence at the beginning of his book called The Confessions. And it's written in the chapel. He said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." You see, that second reading, rejoice, again I say rejoice. It's almost impossible until you figure that out. Because no matter how much you love the person that you most love in this world, they're never going to be enough. They're never going to be enough. Because your heart longs for something that is bigger. And the only way that you are ever going to be able to truly rejoice is when you understand that this world is good, but it will never give you the fullness of what you want. The only fullness of what you want will be given to you in God. don't you remember what Jesus said? You know, this is one of my most favorite parts in the Bible. If you were to go up to Jesus and say to him, "So why did you come? Why did you come to this world?" Now you can say he came to rescue us, he came to save us, he came to do all kinds of stuff. But he says it in one sentence in the Bible. You know what he says? "I came that you may have life and have it to the full." What does that mean? It means that we don't. It means that you have an internal hunger for the fullness of happiness, for the fullness of rejoicing, and you will never achieve it in this world. Because the fullness of rejoicing is found only when you see it in God. Christians can rejoice today, not because we are satisfied with this world, but because we live not for the future. We live from the future. We live from the promise that Jesus gave us, that he has come to bring us the fullness of life. And that's what gives us the ability to look at all the partial loves of this world, all the ways we are partially loved, and say, "It's okay. It's okay, because I know the perfect will come." That's what gives the Christian the desire, the will to go on. And so, you know, this last part that Paul says, that we will get a peace, P-E-A-C-E, a peace that is beyond all understanding. Well, the reason it's beyond all understanding is that without the revelation of the love that God has for us and the promise of life that he came to give us, it is impossible to understand that kind of peace. That kind of peace is given only, and kind of joy is given only to people who are at least trying to put God at the very center of their lives. That's what happened to me. So I hope it makes some sense to you. Thanks for listening.